And so I go for him. And I go to be a herald, a proclaimer, a preacher. And all a herald does, it says, scroll comes down and he says, thus the king says. And he says what the king says. If people reject it, they reject it. If they abide by it, they abide by it. But he says, go, and get this, as I go, we're ambassadors for Christ. Get this. As though God were pleading through us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the King of the universe, the one who has the right to demand absolute obedience from his subjects? He comes and he begs. He pleads through us. Think about that. Think about how the depth of love of that. Pleading means to entreat, to beg, to beseech. When Paul had the vision of going over to Asia, and there was the man in Macedonia, and it says the man in this dream was pleading, come, help us. It's that word. It's God doing that through us. God lovingly pleading with sinners to turn and come to Him. So God's pleading, and we are, so God were pleading through us, we what? What's the action that we do? We what? We implore. We beg. We beg people. We were out at the Baltimore Inner Harbor Friday night. 19 of us, my family included. There I was with my friend Andrew, and there were these two young African-American men, 18 and 19 years old, Will and Chris. Will and Chris. And we engaged them for a long time. And they were so angry. They lived in South Baltimore. They had been mistreated. And they had one way to deal with it, and that's fight back. We stood there. We reasoned with them. We reasoned with them about judgment and righteousness. We reasoned with them that no matter how they think they're going to get even here, they will stand before the living God one day who loved them so much that He sent His Son to die for them. And they argued. But then sometimes they softened. And at one point I got down on my knee. I said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. God is reaching to you. Don't ignore. Don't ignore Him. I'm begging you. I don't know what they're going to do with that. That's all I am. I am. What am I? Just a beggar. Linda, may I tell your story? Linda found herself with a football team from Massachusetts. These big, burly guys. And she started speaking to about five of them, and then all 10 came around. And it was hard, wasn't it? It wasn't like just easy. There was fear. And she started preaching the gospel to them and preaching the law to them. And they started mocking her. Jesus fanatic or whatever they were saying. And they were, you don't know that that's true. And she stood her ground. And there were a few of them that seemed to be tender. And they were like, you know. And she looked at him and said, I have 7 sons. And I have 6 teenagers at home. You don't scare me. She said, I know how to talk to boys. And she said this. She said, Do you think I'm out here for fun? I am out here because I care about you. When she did that, even though they were, none of them fell on their knees and repented, but their countenance and their demeanor changed, and they became tender. You see, that's why we're there. That's why we're talking to people. We're not trying to win an argument. Why would we be trying to win an argument? We're not trying. It's not a contest of wills and opinions. It's a matter of their eternal destiny. And so Linda preached the gospel to this football team from Massachusetts, and they heard it. And seeds were planted. And we planted a lot of seeds. I was down at the docks, the city docks where we're going to be going next Saturday. And we were ending up an evening of witnessing, and it was just about over, and I came up to these two young men on bicycles, and one was named Henry. And I began talking to them. You think you're a good person? Okay, could I ask you a few questions? Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Good answer. Good answer. Most people say, yeah, I think so. And we started going through the Ten Commandments, helped them see that they were lawbreakers and that they were in danger, and they admitted that they'd be guilty if they stood before God on Judgment Day and that they would probably go to hell. And I talked with them about the gospel. And then I began pleading. I said, I am an ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through me. I'm begging you to come to Christ. Henry looks at me and he says, do you believe in feeling things? I had no clue. You know what's out there. People believe all kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, I guess. What do you mean feeling things? He said, when you said that, I felt something go down through me. And I'm still feeling it, and it feels good. I said, Henry, that's the Holy Spirit. And God is tugging at you. And I begged him, before his head hit the pillow, to get right with Christ, and gave him some stuff that night. He said he would. I don't know. I'm just a herald. I'm just a proclaimer. My success and your success is not based on you getting somebody to repeat a prayer after you. Your success is on proclaiming the gospel and begging men and women to come to Christ. Does that make sense to you? Yes. All right, now, I could give, there's more examples I'd like to give. I do want to say this about begging and imploring men. I have a friend of mine who told me years ago, she said she was trying to talk to her brother about being a Christian one time, and her brother looked at her and said, if you believed all this about Christ and what you're saying, you would be crawling on your knees begging me so that I wouldn't go to hell. That has stuck with me, because that's right. The question, please hear me. Do you really believe that the people around you are going to burn in hell and scream with anguish and never have an opportunity to pray to God or have fellowship or friendship with anybody for all of eternity? Do you believe that? I'm asking you, believe it, because it's true. And do you believe that if they put their faith in Christ, God will convert their heart and give them a home in heaven forever and ever? Finally, understanding the ministry of reconciliation, because that's what these last verses are filled with. God has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, given us the ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconcile, reconciliation, reconciliation, reconciliation. The parable was given, go in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That's what God's saying to you and me. Go out there. Go to the highways and byways. Go out there. Paul was in Athens, and it says daily, he was in the marketplace daily, reasoning with whoever happened to be there. Why is God compelling us to go? Because He wants to reconcile them to Himself. Reconciliation. Benjamin, come here, buddy. Okay, here's the picture. You are, you're facing that way, away from God, arms crossed, defiant, rebellious. Okay. Here's what it says in Romans 5. It says, we were without strength. That means this, having absolutely no spiritual ability in us to get to God. None. Don't believe that any unbeliever is able just to go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, Muslim, Christian, bro, I'll choose one. No way. We are totally depraved. We don't have any ability to get to God. That's them. And then it says, not only were we without strength, it says this, we were sinners. We were laden with sin. Not only doing sins, but a sinful heart. But not only that, it says this, in that condition, we were enemies of God. I want you to understand, in one sense, God loves the world and sent His Son, but I want you to understand, everybody who has not bowed their knee to Jesus Christ is an enemy of God, according to Scripture. So, not interested in God, an enemy of God, sinning against God, rebelling against God, there we were. There we were. And here's God, and His love has sent His Son, and God is, His heart is out there that direction. Now, Josiah, you come and stand, and you're gonna be like in God's position here. Okay? I want you to understand the ministry of reconciliation. When people are not reconciled, that means they are apart, they can't get together. How many of you have had the heartbreak of unreconciled relationships in your life? It's horrible, isn't it? Okay, this is the state, unreconciled. I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And I have been given the words of reconciliation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my ministry of reconciliation, I am crying out to God to save and open the heart of this unreconciled sinner. And I am crying out on one hand to God, and on the other hand, I am going and I am pleading and I am saying, telling him about Jesus and how he can be right with God. And he's an enemy of God. He's going to be judged. But I want you to know God so loved you, He sent His Son to die for you. And then I'm praying and asking God. And then I'm coming and I'm pleading. And as I'm pleading, a heart starts to turn, and I'm pulling, and I'm pulling, and I'm pulling, and I'm reaching to God so that there will be reconciliation. Thanks, guys. Thank you. That is your ministry. God, show me your will. Ministry of reconciliation. But God, like, what's your will? Ministry of reconciliation. But God, like, what do I do tomorrow? Ministry of reconciliation. This is the heart of God. It's the heart of God. God is sending you and I out. And so, what do? Well, you get trained. Get trained. Got to get some training. But you don't have to have a 4-year doctorate in apologetics to go preach the gospel. Just get trained. Come Saturday, get some training, bring your friends, get some training. You'll be glad you did. Write down a gospel presentation after you get trained so you practice it and you get out there. Then you pray and look for opportunities to preach the gospel to people. If you waited till you had it all together, you're never going to preach the gospel. You go, you start doing it, and you learn as you go. Just want to real quick pause. Did any of my family have anything to say about that, the importance of getting out there and doing it and learning as you go? It's okay if you don't. Just wanted to find out if any of you would. You want to stand right there and say it?
Desire to do it like at all. And once I'm out there, it's just
Thank you, Charity. Boy, they've had some incredible times with people. And it's just amazing the doors that God will open up. The Moravians were a group of people who, I don't remember even what years that they had their revival going. You've studied revival. But they had a major revival, and people would hear from God, and they would go to this group, and they would go to that group to preach the gospel. And there were two Moravian young men who discovered that there were this group of slaves. And this group of slaves were so locked into their world that there was no approaching them. There was no way getting to them unless you became a slave yourself. And these two young men determined that God's call on their life was to sell themselves into slavery so they could get into these horrible conditions, so they could live among these slaves and preach the gospel to them and be ambassadors for Christ. The day they were going and getting in their ship to go, the family was around, they were crying, they were weeping, and these boys said something like this, "Don't cry for us. Don't cry for us. We are going to win for the Lamb the reward of His sacrifice. That's what we're going to do." And they did. They sailed off. And I don't believe they were ever seen again this side of heaven. Charles Spurgeon said this. And then we're going to have John come and pray for us. Charles Spurgeon said this. "The saving of souls, if a man has once gained love to perishing sinners and his blessed master, will be an all-absorbing passion to him. It will so carry him away that he will almost forget himself in the saving of others. He will be like the brave fireman who cares not for the scorch or the heat, so that he may rescue the poor creature on whom true humanity has set its heart." And then he said this, "If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for."